Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook, some other things I forget about. Go ahead, Lee.
Hi, Lee Capreas, hello.
And?
Steve Wyrick, hello, everybody.
So, wanted to talk about some exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It turns out Steve's Comic-Con vid made a few news sites this week.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations.
And very good,
yes.
Steve.
Thank you.
Good job editing. Good
Thank
job
you.
Shooting.
Thank you.
That host you got is fantastic.
Yeah, he is. He really, he pretty much made it easy for me.
He does it for me.
He does.
I don't know if anyone else, but he does it
that
for
host?
Me.
That host? Well, yeah, Maria Kanellis did it for me, let me tell you.
What he lacks in looks, he makes up for in charm.
Ooh. I don't know if I like that. Continue. Steve,
yes.
You did all those vids.
I did.
And,
I did.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well,
good job.
Thank you, actually, because
yes.
At
Please.
About
continue.
About
continue.
4:15 in the morning when you to the tube, love you guys, but you guys were D-bags that night, when you decided to tell us we had over 15 minutes that we could use, my Nasty Boys video that was in two parts because I thought I was following our YouTube rule, YouTube says, oh, well, you can use more than 15 minutes. So I had the Nasty Boys video, which was about 20 minutes.
That took me an hour to export and an hour to upload.
So we're sitting down here, and I'm pretty much gritting my teeth about it, and Matt twisted, you know, he goes, no. If YouTube will let us put it all up at once, we put it all up at once.
Oh, so, do it right or don't do it at all.
Well, I needed to put that out there.
Yeah.
I needed to let the listeners
know.
That's
all the Tube's fault.
Yeah.
So do we get into the weekend? Lee, what's up with you? Abe? Or should I call you Abe?
Abe, yeah. I used to wear these shirts all the time in high school.
He's wearing a...
I have a huge extensive...
bowling shirt.
I have a huge extensive collection of work shirts and bowling shirts that don't have my name on them.
That's false pretenses right there.
Yeah, I bought them in... I bought the bowling shirts in high school when I was in my Big Lebowski phase.
You kind of look like an Abe.
Yeah.
Abe Simpson.
It's not bad.
No.
You look kind of like an Abe.
Abe's not bad.
Like, I could see your name being Abraham.
Okay.
Yikes.
What is this, Daniel Sun? What are you doing?
Luisi is sitting next to me, and I'm not liking it.
Oh, boy. Okay.
He's throwing off my game here.
Oh,
throwing off my game. Yeah, sit closer to Lee. Throw off his game.
All right. Did you just wipe whatever you took out of the sky on me? What was it? Was that a spider, and you smushed it in your fingers? You wiped it on my nice polyester work shirt?
I don't like this touching shit going on. So, Lee, how was your weekend?
It was okay. I started drinking again on Saturday. I know.
Oh, there goes that 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There goes the streak.
You know
there
what?
Goes.
I went 11 days.
So you bothered the fuck out of Nora Dunn for what?
I know.
I was going to say.
Oh, Nora, you don't know what I'm going through. My PBR. I need a beer.
I came off
so
pretty...
So much for that, Nora.
I came off pretty whiny, didn't I?
Oh, a week and a half of no drinking.
Oh, boy. And she was like, I can't help you.
Yeah.
That was her response. Yeah. Do you remember?
We did have the very special music from Belvedere playing when...
Yeah.
He just plays the shrink on TV.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Show me that smile. Ooh, show me that smile. I love Growing Pains.
Me as well.
That was awful, though. I shouldn't have sang that.
So, Matt, how was your weekend?
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, because I didn't have much of a weekend,
that's
and the
true.
Weekend I did have, maybe Fricano or DiStefano can tell better than me. Because I'm sure I'll be leaving things out.
Okay. Of course.
What about your weekend, Steve? Work?
I worked.
I worked.
I also worked.
I'm excited about having Jim McCarron's on again today.
I am, too.
Yeah.
Got a lot of resume questions, I'm sure, for him. I'm getting emails from people asking questions about the biz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't get emails from any guests. This guy I get emails for.
Yeah, well, he's, you know.
Because they see former executive, and they're like, he has all the answers.
Uh-huh. Holds the key, doesn't he?
Oh, boy.
No.
Jim.
No.
Are we going to get a lot of kiss-uppy, brown-noses, suck-up questions? From
I didn't
a lot
see any of those.
From a lot of fawning sycophants?
No, I didn't see any of those. I saw a lot of...
That was a Jericho
they're
word.
Not questions I'd be asking.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, maybe Jim's going to think, there's no such thing as a bad question.
That's true.
There's one question. I'm not going to ruin it now, but it is typical. I'm not in Hollywood... But I'm going to ask how to get into Hollywood question, but not in the way where it's like I want to work and be an artist, and more in a way like how can I meet so and so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One of those?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
But I'll save it for
well,
Jim.
Well, listen, because
I'm sure I'll have a funny response.
One good thing about our show is that a bunch of people who you know anyone could listen to this show and they can actually hear from people who have been in real positions of power and who have really been in the business, they can hear things that they wouldn't hear on other shows.
Yep.
That's one good thing about the show.
Now, I was talking with Steve to change subjects here a little. We are doing Stump the Steve today between McCarron's and Steve, and Jim has told me, Jim told me before, when he goes to work, he listens to TV theme songs.
Really?
That's what he does, to go to work.
Really?
So Steve may be in a tough spot.
Like in preparation for this? Or just
no.
Just in general.
No, this is
just
what
fun.
He does right. For fun.
This is going to be about as ugly as watching me
this
put on jeans.
This is his Celine Dion.
So he's like in his car. God. He's in his car and other people are like singing Earth, Wind, and Fire. And he's just like, Charles.
He probably, yeah. Oh, well, don't, you just ruined the first five questions.
Oh,
they were
no.
All Charles in Charge of Light. Oh. Steve and I were talking, though, And he did not know there was a difference between the Growing Pains songs.
Yeah.
And I was going to play both of them and see if anyone could recognize the difference, Lee or Steve.
Okay.
And then let me know what's what. All
right.
And you will be very surprised who the two women are that sing these theme songs for Growing Pains. These are some pretty up there women.
Okay.
So that's another shocking thing. A little Growing Pains trivia to open the show.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. So here's Growing Pains. Season one, I don't know. Oh, let me get the exact info. I don't want to give out false info on this show.
Yes.
Because then I got to go back and correct myself, and then you look like an idiot. All right, in season one, BJ Thomas sung the song solo.
Right.
Now, this is seasons 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Are you ready? 2, 3, 5, 6, 7.
Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near.
The
best is ready to begin. As long as we got each other, we got the world spinning right in our hands. Baby, rain or shine, all the time, we got each other.
All right, so that's 2, 3, 5, 6, 7.
Got it.
Here's season four. Tell me the difference between these two songs. Some major diffs.
Huge differences.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm schooling people today on Growing
That
Pains.
Was six, wasn't it? You said
that was four.
Four.
Season
okay.
four.
Okay.
So what's the difference between 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7, and 4?
It's a different lady voice, I think.
One voice is Jennifer Warnes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Now, those who don't know Jennifer Warnes, she did a huge song in the 80s. Maybe you heard of this one. This is Jennifer Warnes.
The signature sound.
Well, that's not Jennifer Warnes. That's an ad for Three Doors Down, which I have no interest in. This is Jennifer Warnes. Maybe you heard of this song. And this is a clip from an actual movie. I didn't want to play the song, per se. Because you can tell me what movie it is.
What?
Wow.
Time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear. It's
ooh.
And I owe it all to you.
No, God. It's the time of my life. And I owe it all to you.
Okay.
That's Jennifer Warnes.
That Jenny Warren.
Okay, so you're like, wow, a big name
yeah.
did the Growing Pains theme song.
Right.
Wait till you hear who was season four, and you're going to be like, what?
I got a few suspicions.
Well, this will clear it up pretty fast.
Really?
Dusty Springfield.
Dusty Springfield.
Was season four.
Season four. Wow.
I don't feel like I played enough of that song, though. I gave you Billy Ray.
Yeah, that's okay.
There you go. We can do a little more.
Why?
Crazy, right?
Why did they go back to the original Jennifer Warnes theme song for season five?
And that's why, you know, and all due respect to Jennifer Warren, wasn't the season 4 theme song kind of the tits?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty good.
It was
Dusty doing solos and riffs. And
yeah.
Yeah, why'd they go back? I don't know. And I don't know why they left. What made you go, okay, is it because you could have gotten Dusty Springfield and you're like, oh, I could get Dusty?
Are they changing things just to change them?
Maybe Dusty wanted too much money.
I was
going to
say, it's always money and scheduling.
But isn't that wild? Yeah. Jennifer Warren and Dusty Springfield, the growing pains.
That's wild.
And B.J. Thomas.
B.J. Thomas.
Well, when you got a whole Dusty court vocally with Jennifer Alan Warren. Thicke.
Yeah!
He fucking sings that song.
So that is my growing pains trivia for everyone today.
No. Okay.
Hey, by the way, did anyone else read this story about Cicero spending $120,000 at a Chicago hot dog stand?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Well, let's talk about this here.
What?
We have a frequent contributor on this show, Mr. Leonard Cannata.
You maybe perhaps heard of him.
Yeah, and he is from Cicero. He claims Cicero is the New York, Chicago, and L.A. that, you know, it's supposed to be. But
yeah.
It's Cicero.
Yeah.
Cicero is L.A. to him. So, can I read the story?
Please do.
Show me that smile, boy.
Whoa, show me that smile.
Dusty Springfield over here.
The Chicago Sun-Times has been keeping tabs on how Cicero Town President Larry Dominick runs things in the Chicago suburb, and each investigation seems to be more bizarre than the next. The paper's latest probe found that a Chicago hot dog stand has been well taken care of by Cicero's taxpayers. Dominick has already admitted to putting more than 20 family members on the town payroll and to spending $500,000 on rubber chickens, pens, and back scratchers with his name on them. Cicero officials defended the rubber chicken bill, saying they were promotional items for the town and that residents loved them. The Sun-Times, however, pointed out that Cicero didn't bother with a bidding process for promotional items, instead doling out contracts to a business owned by a Cicero board member. A new investigation by the Sun-Times shows that another business with links to board members has benefited from the village coffers. Since Dominick took office in 2005, the Sun-Times reports that Cicero spent nearly $120,000 at the Dog Stop on Chicago's northwest side. While the Dog Stop is 8 miles from Cicero Town Hall, it's still close to home. A paid Cicero Town board member has a stake in it, and her two sons, who are highly paid Town of Cicero consultants, have worked there for years. One son, Craig Pesek, 35, was hired as a consultant to oversee the creation of a new town park with special tax funds, which are meant to be spent on economic redevelopment in Cicero. At least $26,000 went to a park opening in the community, which was catered by the Dog Stop. The rest of that money went to a hot dog stand.
I'd like 80,000 orders of French fries, please.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of hot dogs.
Bananas, you know, with the grilled cheese sandwiches.
I got to ask, when did Svengoolie move to Cicero?
With the rubber chicken.
Right.
Yeah, when did?
Yeah, little did you not.
I'd like to see like the city alderman or that, like some wacky guy with like a crazy tie. We must keep Cicero in decent rubber chicken for the winter.
I didn't get to the end of the article where they said the Cicero town president is Rich Cox.
Yeah, right. I was going to say,
Richie
wow.
Cause.
Poor Cicero.
I thought that was an interesting little story. Lenny's town is as corrupt as ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're knee deep in hot
dogs. I bet if Lenny was here, he would have something to say about it, and it would probably be, oh, a dog stop. I love that.
Yeah,
I'll be good
asked,
dog.
Yeah. I love the dog stop.
Poor Len.
poor Lenny.
Oh, Pat Tobias wants Steve to know. Guess who recently became friends with Ivy Wright?
Ivan
Reitman.
I've known this, Pat.
He's known it. Wasn't affecting him.
No.
Obviously was affecting you.
Wow, Pat.
No.
I guess Steve is saying come back when you got something interesting.
Well, Pat did call Steve and I fat yesterday.
Yeah, Pat called. He had the audacity to call me fat. I am festively plump. Come on.
I'm festively plump.
No, that's it. Eating disordered starting next week.
Yeah. Okay.
So
it was never go well.
There's the Pat Tobias update.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
I wanted to also talk about rumor is we're now going to have a show on Labor Day.
Yeah.
No rest for the weary.
We will be laboring.
We work, America, so that you do not have to.
So, and if it wasn't the guess that it is, I don't know if I can confirm it yet. I think I can confirm. I don't know. Pat's going to let me know after he writes Steve some...
love letter?
Yeah, a little bit of a lovey letter
here.
Please
sprinkle some, you know...
You want to say who it is? You maybe keep it a surprise for that day. Maybe
Ken Hamill wanted us to know the a cappella version of the Growing Pains theme always sounded like they were having a funeral.
Yeah, I agree, actually. That is a good point. Well put, Ken.
That's pretty funny. Ken Hamill is the only one that has sat through all our theme music mumbo jumbo right now.
Well, that's because...
Brucey Fretz will love it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yes. Maybe he's meditating tonight or something.
We can only hope. Well, hope he's not drinking that brown water. Bruce, stay away from the brown water.
Stay away from the brown
water. Pat Tobias just wants to know who shares food coupons on Facebook.
Apparently a few hundred thousand people.
Yeah, I do, and the 200 other thousand people that did the same.
Yeah, people who want to eat.
Hey, I sent Steve a food coupon on his wall.
Can't wait to use it.
For the best sub joint, Firehouse Subs.
Yes.
Buy one, get one on Labor Day.
Firehouse Sub on Butterfield Road in Wheaton.
When you go to Cicero, there must be like rubber chickens everywhere, like every household.
Yes. Yes.
Franklin Roosevelt, a rubber chicken in every pot.
How great would it be if you're driving down Ogden through Cicero and ran over a rubber chicken?
Yeah, and you were like, oh my God.
And a back scratcher.
Yeah, right.
Tim Busfield did say yes.
Okay.
Tim. Tim will be joining us on Monday. You may know Tim from the West Wing.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Collins in Little Big League. He's a director. He's very talented. If you saw Tim's face, you'd be like, oh, Tim.
Oh, that guy.
I believe, well, am I wrong? 30-something?
I can't confirm nor deny that.
That he is 30-something or that he was on 30-something?
No, that he was on 30-something. Because that roster...
I'll confirm it right now. He was on 30-something for 5 years. I was right about that Sports Night, you know him from, Ed, Without a Trace, Las Vegas, he made some appearances, Studio 60. So, he's done everything.
Yeah, he's in the Aaron Sorkin school of everything.
He's good friends with the Sork. And some people may know him as Arnold Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds.
Ah.
Yeah, Arnie Poind.
I know I did.
Arnie Poind. So, and he's a great actor. He does a lot of theater, too, I know. So that'll be a fun one, I think.
There.
But that's the only reason I accepted a Monday show on Labor Day.
Right.
It's Tim.
I get it.
That's a good book.
Oh, Matt, I get it.
I was working on Tim for a few...
Look.
I don't want to talk out of school, but I kind of was harassing Tim to the point where it's either do the show or restraining order. Chrissy McDonald is September 20th, I believe. I didn't get the confirmed updated calendar. Pat Tobias only sends them to me when he feels I need them. Mm. So I'd like to fill in my calendar. It'd be nice.
No, you don't make plans.
Oh, and don't forget, Tim was the bad guy in First Kid with Sinbad.
Oh.
I did forget.
Did you forget? Okay.
Actually, when I was a kid,
I know where I've seen.
When I was a kid, that was 96, I did see First Kid like
a lot.
Yeah, 100
several times.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, with the cyber stalker,
Tim
was a real creep in that. He was chatting with some boy on AOL and shit.
Let's ask him about that first.
Yeah, they touched some real topics in that movie.
Yeah, that movie did a very special.
There is some crazy news today, too, by the way, so we need to get to that at some point.
Yeah.
I wonder, you never know what Jim McCarron's on if we're going to have the time.
You used to have Sinbad Fests when you lived in Lyle.
Houseguest?
No.
Do you remember that?
Every Sinbad movie. It wasn't just Houseguest. It was every Sinbad movie.
I was really into Sinbad.
You were. Well, you were also into other things.
Houseguest was the best movie.
When you lived in Lyle,
it's the best Sinbad.
I love
movie.
How he's like, he was into other things.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm
not going to go any further.
Yikes. But, oh, are you saying that had to do with that?
No, I'm not.
No.
You know what? That's not funny at all. The only person that finds that funny is Maria Menounos.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, pal. I didn't find it funny.
Wow.
Maria, laugh a minute. But no. Anderson has more class than that.
Oh, man. You had that one ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Tim was on Matlock, as Caesar reminded me.
Oh,
yes,
was he?
Yes.
Was
and
he in the
Field of Dreams?
Was he in the episode of Matlock when Liz Sheridan blows him?
That wasn't an episode of Matlock.
Yeah.
That was Play the Game, which two cranky guys have yet to review.
I wonder why.
So I don't know if you've seen this movie, Lee, but I watched a movie a few weeks ago that I've showed clips to Steve.
Yeah.
Called Play the Game, and it's an 80 Andy Griffith today, 84 years old. It's a sex comedy. And he hits on Doris Roberts, Liz Sheridan gives him a BJ, and you see Andy Griffith's O face, and Liz Sheridan's in a nighty.
The best part.
It's a really disturbing film.
Those all sound like things. That sounds like a buffet of goodness.
Was it? I have a feeling you're the only one that's like buffet of goodness.
Guess what? Andy Griffith calling his penis the Energizer Bunny.
Oh, he does. He goes, it's like that little bunny. It just keeps going.
And Liz Sheridan slipping him the Viagra in his wine. Just classic.
Oh, man.
So I posted it on Bruce Fretz and Brett Watts. Wall, and I guess they refused to review such
a
movie.
What year was this made?
Two years ago, three years ago. It's a Chicago movie.
Yeah.
Doris Roberts is in it. Liz Sheridan.
Oh, my
Andy
God.
Griffith.
Andy Griffith.
You said
it
enough.
It takes place in a retirement home for the most part.
A sex comedy.
Yeah.
Starring a man who worked with Ilya Kazan.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a little filthy.
I was shocked Andy was in this.
Yeah,
I was too.
It's a little late in life to be taking chances with your career, Andy.
You know what, though? You get to a certain point, they're not chances.
No.
It's just fun.
No,
fun in your twilight years.
So I thought they would review it, but they're not going to.
I would love to be in a sex comedy when I was 84.
With Liz Sheridan?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And yeah.
That's filthy.
Because that would be just like such a big fun.
She can
like,
give you a gummy, I think.
Oh.
What? What? We're not getting Liz on the show anymore.
Barney Martin is rolling in his grave. You're taking his TV wife.
Who doesn't want a gummy from Liz Sheridan?
No. That's terrible.
Now, if there's anyone under 18 listening, they're going to go ask mom and dad what a gummy is.
Yeah, mom, what's a gummy?
What's a gummy?
Is that like a gummy worm?
It's better than
a
candy,
is it the same
dear?
As when they say fuck all the time on that show?
Exactly.
So stump the Steve today.
Junior, I don't want you listening to that Matthew Aaron show. They're just wild on that thing.
Steve Weirich and Jim McCarron's are going head-to-head and stump the Steve.
Okay.
Next to Ken Hommel, I don't know who would be a tougher opponent, but here's how we're going to play today. It's the first person of 5 points.
Okay.
If there's a tie, there will be bonus rounds.
Do you have
you
all?
You do
the...
get one help.
Do you have everything picked out?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, to a degree. Here's the thing. I have everything picked out, but here's how we're going to play. Since it's Stump the Steve, Jim McCarron's gets to pick a category for Steve. The categories are going to be 70s, 80s, or 90s. Steve then gets to pick one of the remaining two categories for Jim.
Okay.
They can be shows that overlap decades.
Okay. Right.
Just so you know ahead of time. So Matlock could be 80s and 90s.
You can't pick anything from CBS, though, because Jim's going to be all over it.
I can't narrow down networks.
Yeah,
Let him. Well, here's the thing. Jim was at CBS in the 90s. So
right.
if he gets 70s or 80s, maybe he doesn't know CBS.
Okay.
I have a feeling this may be a railroad.
Yeah, I think he's a sharp guy. He knows the score. I think he's going to Yeah. I think he's going to be
Jim, have mercy. Come on.
Although lately Steve has been vanquished by his opponents.
Oh, here we go.
So if you're if you're right, you'll hear this. No, that's definitely if you're wrong. If you're wrong, you're going to get some Nelson Muntz.
What if you're right?
You'll just get a congratulations.
You won't hear
that.
No, you'll get woohoo.
I'm not going to say who I talked to today.
Woohoo!
I don't want to throw anyone under the bus.
You
but
don't.
Someone was very afraid of Maria Menounos today.
Really?
And
it wasn't me.
And recommended she stars in Goat Boy the movie. With Jay Moore.
Was she going to be Jim Brewer's stand-in? Or
with Jay Moore, or were they going to be able to get Jim Brewer?
No, it's because of the way Jay Moore laughs, though. You ever heard
Wow. Okay.
He's a machine gun, too.
Yeah.
All right, now that we are crossing people off our booking list left and right.
Oh, we were in such a big hurry to get Jay Moore.
Might have been.
No, I was not.
Come on. All right.
I was not. I do know some people that love Jay, though.
Poor Jay Moore.
I know people that do love Jay.
Okay.
So if that's something, I guess. Should we call Jim McCarron? We have so much to go over with them.
Yeah.
give him a ring.
We got fan questions coming in. We got all sorts of things I gotta talk to him about. Steve and I want to talk to him about resume building and jobs and
LA.
Where should we move?
Where should we go?
I'm gonna take notes. This is gonna be a very good.
This is gonna be a very educational.
It's gonna be a very
Matthew Aaron
show. It'll be the PBS version.
So here we go. We'll call Jim.
Hey Jim.
I love how Alex Luisi thinks he's funny.
Any possible thing that exists in this room, he's used it for a blowjob.
Even Matt's hat?
Yeah.
He's really into that whole blowjob.
I think you've taken every possible thing on this desk and mimed a blowjob.
Even the mini Chris?
Yeah.
Boy, do you owe Liz Sheridan an apology.
Oh, boy.
Are you friends with Liz, Jim?
I don't think
Do you know who her fiancé was in 1952?
No.
Well, when she was 60, who was her fiancé?
William Holden?
You're gonna feel bad. It was James Dean.
Ooh. Wow.
I don't feel that bad. Oh. I don't feel that bad. No.
Secondly, you're forgetting Trapper John M.D. for Timothy Busfield.
Oh, well, okay. All right. I didn't go through his
resume. Who won an Emmy for 30-something.
Yes, I remembered 30-something. Yeah, you're right.
And then finally, my trainer from the late 1990s here in L.A.
Lou Ferrigno?
Was the co-star of First Kid.
Oh, well, is Sinbad?
Sinbad's co-star. He was the white one.
No, I was hoping Sinbad was your trainer.
Yeah, right.
He wears those zoo pads.
I have a tangential connection to First Kid. I just had to say that.
Okay.
Are you proud of that connection to First Kid?
I'm quite proud.
We should just give Jim the win for this thing already. I don't think we should even do the...
Yeah, Steve, you're in trouble, pal.
Oh, come on.
You're
Hi, Jim.
In trouble.
By the way, I tend to bow at the altar of Ken Hommel, to be honest. But let's just keep that amongst the three of us. No one can hear me say that, right?
Well, yeah, no one listens.
Well, Ken will hear you because he's listening, I think.
Ken Hommel is more than a worthy opponent and adversary. He's okay. Smarter than the average bear.
I believe it because we're always yapping on the Facebook, and he knows a lot of TV history.
All right. Well, Liz Sheridan, we're sorry. You were James Dean's fiancée. That's pretty cool.
Oh, is that pretty cool?
That is.
All right.
Cool.
And her best friend. How can you go wrong with your best friend being Samantha Stevens from Bewitched?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah?
You're in trouble, Steve. You're done.
He was friends with
Elizabeth
Montgomery.
Elizabeth Montgomery, yes.
Liz Montgomery.
Lizzie
Those
Montgomery.
Two Liz's hanging out. Well,
by the way, I think we've established the line for what theme music I'm going to get because it's going to be from the 50s and the 60s.
Oh no, we are not giving you 50s or 60s.
90s it is.
I crossed those off the list. I figured that
I
was a cakewalk for you.
I'm screwed.
I told Steve you're going to give him a category first, and then he will give you one of the leftovers. I don't know what Steve's strategic move here is going to be. I don't know.
I will tell you, though. By the way, I expect to fully lose this, but I will tell you that one of the rare interviews I did when I was at CBS, because most of the press inquiries went to my boss, Kelly Call, and he's probably more articulate than I, but one of them that came to me was on the importance and of theme music for TV shows, and how they had gone by the wayside. This was about 10 years ago. So that was, there's a quote out there in some article of Jim McCarron's waxing nostalgic about theme music. And I did get away with using the following line that said the theme music was the soundtrack to our lives.
Oh, wow.
That could
be. See, they printed that.
They gave you credit for
they
that
didn't
one.
Give, they didn't retract that at all? Or Yeah, you don't hear too much really memorable theme music.
No, but let me
it
give
is
you...
an art.
But there is still good theme music. I'll give you two examples. On FX, Rescue Me, Peter Tolan.
Yeah.
Petey Tolls.
Yeah.
Who called me a C-word today, but whatever.
Challenger?
Yeah, that was the one, yeah.
Rhymes with Bunt.
Rhymes with Bunt. All right, good job, Steve.
Yeah, it's good.
Don't make it obvious. Yeah. So anyways, Rescue Me and Sons of Anarchy both have theme music. They open the show.
Yeah.
And I think it really raises the testosterone for that show when you're watching. And I think it gets you into it.
Yeah.
I really do think it helps.
I agree with you, by the way, in all sincerity, that it sets the plate. In those cases, it sets the tone for the show as well. But it really sets the plate. It sets the plate for the course to come. And theme music is much missed. Anybody who's a fan of television, just from having watched even stupid repeats growing up, even kids today, they know theme music of the shows they watched in reruns. So. I mean, of course, the thinking is we need to eliminate time to make more, you know, so we need more commercial time. I get that. Anybody who says, you know, we eliminate theme music because it's unnecessary and people don't like it anymore and it doesn't serve a purpose, you should kick them in the shin, because that's not true.
I agree.
Well, HBO,
men of a certain age.
HBO shows always have good theme music,
yeah.
Or they choose good songs to
and
play, and they let those play out for a minute and a half.
Well,
you know?
Men of a Certain Age has the Beach Boys when I grew up. Rizzoli and Isles, which isn't even my favorite show, they got a theme music that opens up that Boston Irish little number.
And by the way, the most important part about theme music, what do you play when you're in your way, you're walking up to the
Emmy.
Stage to get your Emmy Award?
Emmy.
Right.
They're playing my song.
See?
That is
true. By the way, your Andy Griffith movie was called Play the Game in 2009.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I said that.
You said
play the game.
We just didn't know the year.
We didn't know the year, 2009.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, obviously, you could defend Liz Sheridan, but that's because you haven't seen Play the Game.
I just would say you can't see Play the Game and not have it seen A Face in the Crowd, the Ilya Kazan movie, when he was
when
young.
When you see Andy Griffith's O face, that changes you in so many ways.
Okay.
Like, I love Andy Griffith. I'm a huge fan of Matlock, as people know. And seeing his O face, it's hard for me to now even watch Matlock.
Some actors in their octogenarian period, you don't want to see their O face. Some, it'd be kind of funny.
No.
Some actors in their 30s and 40s you don't want to see.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
oh, I'm good on all of their old faces.
Right.
I don't care how old they are.
You're good on all of them?
I'm good.
I don't want to see John Turturro's old face.
No.
That's kind of redundant. That's the only face he has.
Oh, wow. Well, now that we've got that covered, you know.
So what do we do? Do we go to the Jim, I was talking about earlier, you're the first guest I've ever had where people wrote in numerous questions. For the guest.
Oh, you're making that up.
No, I'm not.
That was just people upstairs. That was just people upstairs in your house saying, "Be quiet down there."
No, Ma doesn't have any questions for you, really, other than when am I getting a job? But
meaning you, not Mom.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for clearing that up. Mom could get one.
Hey, by the way, can I quickly entertain you with an anecdote of the day? Your laugh of the day.
Yes.
Am I interrupting your story already?
No, please. No, I have no good stories. Continue.
Please do.
So I'm prepping for my quizzing tonight by watching all the trailers online for all the new fall shows. I haven't seen them in their entirety, all of them, but so I'm reminding myself what's on the air. And I start watching the clip for this new Poppy Montgomery procedural on CBS called Unforgettable.
Yep.
And the premise is what 60 Minutes covered back in the spring. The premise is these people that they've discovered with tests these days. It's a relatively new phenomenon with these superior autobiographical memories, where they remember every day of their lives. You know,
oh, we
not
talked
just
about this on the last show, Mary Lou Henner.
Yes.
Mary Lou Henner. She's one of the advisors, I think. Don't quote me on that. I think she's one of the advisors on the show.
And
she was interviewed for 60 Minutes. Anyway, I'm watching, and I say this with all love and respect to my former colleagues at CBS, but I'm watching this cut down, this trailer premised on the woman who can remember everything. And there's a scene they show in which her colleagues at the police station or whoever were teasing her, saying, oh, she remembers everything. Oh, tell us what happened on March 27th, 1998. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us that? And she said, okay. And she proceeds to reveal some news events that really did happen.
Yeah.
But she said, and it was a Tuesday. Well, Jim has a good memory, too. I don't think I have superior autobiographical memory, but I'm noted for my memory here, with all due modesty. March 27, 1998 was a Friday. It was not a Tuesday.
Wow.
And this clip is online. The show was predicated on this woman who knows everything about every date ever.
Do me a favor, Mary Lou, a little letter about that. Tell her she's wrong.
I threw a note to my friends at CBS. I said, I'm hoping you're going to correct that, because otherwise you're going to have a letter right after the pilot. You know, if the woman doesn't remember the right date, then we got a problem with the premise of the show.
Wow.
Anyway, that's what I did today. That's how I spent my day. But anyway.
Are
you in the semi-retirement now, Jim? What's going on?
You spent your day doing that and preparing for this, what we're about to do.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Man.
Yes.
I wish I had that kind of day.
Yeah.
I had lunch, too.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. With Phil Rosenthal, hopefully?
No, we didn't set that up yet, although, thanks for reminding me. If he remembers, I have remembered, and I'm supposed to drop him a line.
I'm sure he remembers. He's a remembering kind of guy.
And he's a nice guy, and he had kind words for you there, Mr. Aaron.
Oh, Phil? Oh.
Well, based on your interview.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got invited to the movie screenings.
No.
and I wanted to confirm afterwards, so I emailed, and I'm like, was I really invited, or are you fucking with me? No, really invited. Really invited.
No, he means it.
Yeah, I guess
he means
so.
Good luck getting past the front door, but he meant it.
Wait till I show up in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, valet.
You should wear that Wolverine shirt you're wearing now.
Bill said it's casual.
Okay.
I can wear whatever I want. It's casual.
I only made it to one of them, and it was very casual. It was in a different house, but I made it to one of them, and it was quite nice. And the best part is they have their old-fashioned popcorn machine in the lobby of their house.
Oh yeah, cool. And the pizza. I hear the pizza's phenomenal.
Good pizza.
All-you-can-eat pie, I'm told.
All-you-can-eat.
Yep.
It's not a bad way to spend the day.
I believe. Now wait. Who else was at the screening? Because I hear Norman Lear makes a few of them.
I'm not part of that crowd. I was there the night that they were showing Finding Nemo. That's how long ago this was. Probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Was Albert there?
No, but Brad Garrett was, who, of course, is not only in the show, but he was in the movie.
Right. Yeah, he's done some things with Phil.
He did something
with Phil. I don't remember something. What. Yeah.
So I'm at your disposal. I talked too much last time. I'm just going to let myself be at your disposal.
No, you did not talk.
You
too
can
much
talk as
time.
Much as you want. I didn't even plan news today because I'm like,
yeah.
Jim's on. We're going to talk about the fall TV season. I'm not going to cut that last clip that Jim did for when Kelly calls on next month. I'll let sleeping dogs lie there. I'm prepping for Kelly call too.
Get ready.
Yeah,
are you?
Good. Well, I got to get on his good side in case I ever need to work at CBS.
Listen, don't prep television. Prep what it's like to live in Madison.
Yes.
Prep what it's like to live in a drinking town.
Well, my parents.
Prep the Badgers.
Yep.
And the Packers.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the prep you take with him, and anything to do with bratwurst.
Oh, I'm all about bratwurst. The Brat Stop in Kenosha, my favorite jam.
Love that place. Okay.
Twice a year, party at Kelly's house, bratwurst and Lyman Kugels.
Now, where does he get the bratwurst from?
Chippewa Falls.
He shipped it in.
Do you know from where, though, or just...
I don't.
Oh, he's got a secret. You know, those guys like Kelly Calder, they got secret spots. They get taken
care of.
Yeah, they get taken care of.
He's got a brat guy.
Is it true Kelly Call flies, too, or am I hearing things? Does he have a...
Flies what?
License?
You mean a pilot?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
No. I heard something. Yeah, maybe a hot air balloon.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He flaps his arms really hard.
He flaps his arms really
hard. Listen, I'm not part of his day-to-day. That could be true, but that's new to me.
Well, I got to get in on the Kelly call. I got to make a good impression here. But we're going to talk about that, too. Steve wants to talk about jobs and locations for moving and your tips to people that want to go to L.A. And I know a couple of the email questions I got, I'm looking at now, some of them are about L.A., too. And some of them are...
Okay.
One's just stupid, but... Well, we'll let Jim... Look, Jim had a rule in class that there's no such thing as a bad question.
Oh, that's nice.
Absolutely.
I think he was being nice.
I was going to say, that's nice of him.
Because sometimes I'd roll my eyes to the back of my head.
You looked like a slop.
Well, I think the rule was there are no stupid questions, there are only stupid students. I think that was my rule.
I was waiting for that, Jim. Like, come on, Jim. What are you going to say there's stupid students?
So what do we want to start with? The email questions, fall TV season, Stump the Steve? What do we want to go with?
I'll leave it to you guys.
Let's start with the email questions, and then we'll get to the relevant matters.
Okay. Someone asked, if you were writing a pilot, and
yes.
What makes a great pilot?
Okay, what makes a great pilot? We're assuming we're talking about drama or comedy, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming. They didn't specify.
When I'm done reading it, what made a great pilot is there a fifth episode? Is there a tenth episode? Is there a second, third, and fourth year?
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, too many pilots are written today predicated on a concept or an idea or a wouldn't it be funny if that very well may or may not make for an interesting conversation, but it doesn't make for a series.
Yeah.
For a drama, by the way, none of this is new. You could interview somebody from 1952 and he would say the same thing, because while technology changes and people change, the genres, the form of entertainment, which goes back, of course, millennia, depending on whether you're talking around a fire and you're a caveman or you're watching HBO, the common denominator to me is about, is it an interesting, compelling story? And in this case, we're probably talking about a drama. Is it funny if we're talking about a comedy? But it's based on, are they telling a good story with interesting characters that I want to be with from week to week? And then I say to myself when I'm done, is there a fifth episode, a sixth episode, a second year, a fourth year? And I'm hard-pressed to apply that rule to a lot of television these days. And, of course, you'll see a lot of television come and go and fail quickly, and I think it's because it fails that test.
Okay. And you know what? To spin off that, I was going to save this for the fall 2011 season we were going to talk about, but there's that new show, for instance, Bruce Fretz and I were talking today about that new Christina Applegate, Will Arnett show. I forget what it's even called.
You know, first of all, I've wanted to talk about that all day. Secondly, as I'm picking up the phone, I'm saying to myself, remember to talk about that. And then as I'm giving you that long-winded answer that I just did, I wanted to say if it's not too soon to get into the fall season, I will tell you that the case in point is the Christina Applegate show.
That's mine, too. Bruce and I were talking today, and Bruce said he liked the pilot a lot. And I go, yeah, Bruce, but I don't see five seasons. What are you going to do? It looks like a cute little 30 minutes.
I don't see five episodes.
Okay.
Now, by the way, Will Arnett, who is certainly we all like him, he's not really breaking out as that must-see every week TV star. He hasn't achieved that level, even though he's, you know, good and everybody likes to watch him. He just hasn't found a character that we want to hang with every week. And Christina Applegate, who I think is, you know, you'll watch Kelly Bundy and you'll say to yourself, really? Is that what she's going to turn into? She's turned into a very talented, appealing, gifted comedian. But tell me in the history of television, and go back as far as you want, 30 years or 70 years, the number of successful series predicated on the arrival of a child.
I'll wait right here. Not many.
None.
Not Baby Bob, which I think you were around CBS for. Is that
not same? Baby Bob, not Ladies Man, not no. Accidentally on Purpose.
Oh. Baby Bob.
The answer is zero.
Yeah, zero. You're right.
And of course, if I would say that in the hallways of if I would say that in you know at a studio or you know part as part of the you know organization that is television these days, I might get people to engage in conversation. But for the most part, they would say, well, you know what, you know those are the old rules, or that doesn't apply, or that doesn't mean anything, or this is TV today, not TV 60 years ago. They don't really get the overarching point that I'm making, which you can make about literature and books and movies and anything for that matter. Does the actual form match anything that's out there in terms of an actual form? Is there an actual, you know, like Twilight books or ER when it was innovative in 1994? They may break ground in how they deliver the information, but it's very basic what it is. It's a doctor show or it's a vampire book.
Yeah.
Up All Night. What is it? Beyond the billboard that says party and poop. Those are the billboards right here. You know, the parents on the left-hand side of the billboard are partying, and then they have the baby sleeping on the right-hand side, and it says pooped.
And those,
so, you know,
those Whitney.
You know, get it? They don't have a life anymore.
Speaking of billboards.
I'm telling you, I'm willing to put the phone down and wait if people want to tell me the name of any show predicated on the arrival of an infant.
No, I can't think of one.
On the arrival.
No.
Which is what this show is.
And,
No, I mean, they'll have one as like a...
But even Lucy, end of the series, pretty much.
Yeah. No,
sometimes the curse.
They did a few seasons with Little Ricky, but I mean.
But sometimes the kids are death.
Right. Yeah.
Married with children.
No, we're not. Yeah, you have the Cousin Oliver syndrome, where the arrival of a kid is predictable and may or may not mark the death of a child. That's a whole other thing, and it's worth talking about. But I'm talking about where your pilot is based on the arrival of a child.
Oh, never.
No,
never.
No.
Absolutely not.
Doesn't happen because no one wants like pregnant women sitcoms anyway.
Well, I mean, and pardon my vulgarity here, but typically pregnancies in that business are oops, like whoops.
Yeah.
Look what happened.
Yeah. Right, and the point it needs to be made. We're reinforcing what was just said by Matthew, which is, what is the fifth episode?
Yeah, right. And the thing is with that show, I told Bruce Fretz, if it makes it 2 years, you know what happens. The end of the second season, she's pregnant.
Oh yeah,
that's the only way the show could stay alive. Have another kid.
Right.
Well, especially when the title is, and I'm a big fan of titles. It's Up All Night because the parents can't get any sleep. Well, you know what? Not so much.
I think that title's awful, by the way, too, Up All Night. First of all, it was the name of Rhonda Shear's show on USA Network when she would show
it
at night, Up All Night. So I don't know if I want to combine, as much as I love Rhonda, I don't know if I want to combine the two.
Yeah.
But by the way, that
goes towards answering the email, if I could bring it full circle, which is, by the way, a title is very much important as well. But it's really, who do you, you know, when you're done reading it, or in this case, watching it, if you're not reading it, first of all, is it a compelling drama and is it a funny comedy? That's fine. You know, that needs to be there. But are these people you want to hang with from week to week? Is there a story you want to follow, and is there people you want to hang with from week to week? It's very basic. Friends did not create – Friends did not break any new ground except sort of introducing a new way of – a new sense of dialogue into the television marketplace. It sort of changed the way people talk to one another in a Chandler-speak kind of way. But it didn't break any new ground. There's nothing different between Glee and Artemis Brooks, you know, other than 50 years and technology. You know, high school is high school. So is there a story that's worth following that's going to have a fifth episode, a second, third, and fourth year? Are there characters that are worth following, a story you really want to follow, like Sopranos, like Rescue Me, like The Wire, like The Good Wife, which is struggling for a whole other reason, and is there a good title?
Well, The Good Wife's a bad title, I argue, too, and I get yelled at for that. Okay, good.
No, nobody should yell at you. It's a horrible title.
I was yelled at someone from Warner Brothers about it, but I guess they produce the show, so they have every right to.
Well, you could also point out to them the ratings that are less than stellar, that the fact that it lost its lead-in every week, in as much as it was a competitive show at 10 o'clock, I grant you, but it was opposite Precinct 187 or Detroit 187 or whatever the hell that show was with Michael Imperioli.
Yeah.
And Parenthood, which is a constant flatline. So it should have done better. It did fine. It's now in a very bad place.
Yeah.
By the way, it's a good show.
But it's now
in a very bad place on Sunday night.
I think Ken Levine and I were talking about it. It's one of Ken's favorites too, Good Wife. I love it. But
it's well done. It's well written. It's well executed. It's got really good stage actors. It's done. You know, it's put together by people who know how to make entertainment. But it's crippled by a sort of a limited premise and a title that got it picked up, but that really doesn't help anybody watch it from week to week.
I don't know who runs that Ridley and Tony Scott company, but they churn out some pretty good TV shows. I mean, maybe the quality's not the greatest, but a lot of them are hits.
His name is David Zucker.
Okay.
He's a former CBS, among other things. He's a writer as well, but he's a former CBS drama development executive. He's president of Scott Free for Television.
Yeah.
And they've done really good work on both cable and broadcast.
Yeah, they do a great job. Let's see if I get stumped the gym early. Do you remember Christina Applegate's first series where she was a regular?
Are we going back before Married with Children?
Yes. It only lasted
30
episodes. She was a regular.
I'm betting you don't know this offhand. You looked it up somewhere.
No, but here's the thing. You're half right. The only reason I know was I was looking at TV themes the other day.
All right, don't tell me, by the way. Keep going, but don't tell me.
No, I
was looking at TV themes the other day, and it caught my eye that there was a very young Christina Applegate in the opening credits.
Give me some kind of stupid hint.
Yeah, I will give you a stupid hint.
Oh, Google for brains here is going
to
help you. Yeah.
I may have to Google a hint, though, because okay.
It wasn't like Rags to Riches or something, was it?
Okay, I'll give you the plot line according to IMDb, because I had to look at how far back this goes. Wes Kennedy, cop who works long hours at night, and in order to spend the daytime with his two teenage kids, Robin and Kevin. And Robin was a Christina Applegate.
You know what? You got me. I have no idea.
Heart of the City. It looked really bad.
Oh, with the guy who's married to Mel Harris, I believe. Who's the name of the what's the name of the lead actor?
Robert Desiderio.
Yeah, he's married. I think he's married to somebody. I want to say Mel Harris, but I could be wrong. Desiderio.
Yeah, but I thought that was interesting. I'm like, I wonder if Jim knows that. I bet he does.
Vaguely.
I know that it was probably, what, 86?
It was 86, 87.
Had to have been.
No, he nailed it, 86. And
it was ABC.
Yes, it was. Okay, here's another question, email.
Yes.
Email. Yes. We got letters. Pitching. Typical show Bible, or is there even one? I guess that's supposed to be a question. If so, what is a necessity?
I'm betting a show like Desperate Housewives or the upcoming Good Christian Bitches, GCB, has a sense of a Bible, or it probably was picked up, predicated on the thought of giving it a Bible. I don't think Bibles are... I'm happy to be wrong about this, but I don't think they're that necessary anymore. And I'm betting a lot of people don't even know what it is out here. I don't hear that a lot, and in fact, I don't think we see that necessarily with a lot of the dramas that are on television. I did not sit in any pitch in which the term, and I wasn't in that many, but I did not sit in any pitch where the word Bible came up.
Oh, wow. Is it fair to say that that's a more of a development thing, by the way?
I mean, let's see, I don't think anybody's going to throw you out of the office, but I mean, I remember when we picked up certain shows in May, calls would go back to the producers or writers, or creators on the West Coast. We were in New York, and it would be, The gist of the request after the pickup was, let's talk about where you see the show going. So it's not as if people don't plan, you know, for that, map out that first year, probably some more than others. But I'm ready for any of people who know better, anybody to correct me. But I myself was not in any pitches in my limited time in development where the word Bible came up. And I know that a lot of people came in with ideas that couldn't possibly have one.
Well, let me expunge on that question, or the half a question it was. So what then does sell a show, Jim? If you don't need a Bible, is it when you have the right actors, the right idea, the right producers? Is it a mix? Could it be all those? What's the deal?
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know that I don't think you should even enter into that sentence with, if you don't need a Bible, what do you need? Because I don't often associate success with a Bible. What you need is, are you Joe Blow coming from nowhere, right? You're assuming you haven't come in with a pitch as a result of having a development deal with the studio, or you don't have a star attached, or somebody's not creating a package behind a certain show. What you need is, it sounds trite, and people will say, okay, I have that, now what? But what you need is a really good script and a really good story. And at that point, you need the right people to read it at the right time.
Yep.
And I know that that's not exactly something people can take action on. You know, it's not like you can say, oh, I'm going to write that down and follow that plan. But I think you know that in the sense of, if you had several people doing podcasts, and somebody said, I want to come in and I have an idea for a podcast and I want to make it part of your syndicate. I think you yourself would know what is a good enough show to get on the air.
Sure.
You know, and I know we're talking about it's free airspace and could be anything.
Right.
But if you're the guy in charge and you're becoming the Matthew Aaron franchise, somebody's going to come in and say, I got an idea for a podcast, and let's assume that there's money in it for everybody and the stakes are higher than they are. You're going to know what makes for a good pitch. You both will. In the
You're
same
right.
way you know what makes for a good show when you sit down in your living room in your wife beater T-shirt.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
What is it about these people that once – why do I want to be with these people every week? What is the show? I don't – by the way, I don't give a shit about arenas. I don't give a shit about journeys. What is the actual show? And, in fact, sometimes I'm worried about words like arenas and journeys and arc and even words like Bible, which sort of sound like language that tell – you know, it's language that makes you think you're, you know what you're doing when, in fact, I'd rather you just talk about writing a good script.
Well, in the chat, you know. we just got two questions that pertain to this. One
okay.
is, does that mean the character descriptions in the script are very important? I guess what that person may be saying is, should they be longer than usual character descriptions, or just really well written character descriptions, or what should the, are those important? And then the other,
they're always important, but they don't have anything to do with the Bible. The Bible would be Dallas gets picked up. It's essentially the Capulets and the Montagues. It's Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
Where are you going? And I'm sure that this was done, and it's not just with Dallas. I think it was done a lot in the older days. I'm not sure that it's done as much today. But it was, okay, you're picking up Romeo and Juliet set in Texas, and it's about the oil industry. Where do you see this show going? Not like next year does JR get killed, but seriously, what is the Bible? Where is the, what's the map of the show? What, where are you going to take it? Probably in the way that a soap opera does, and the Mark Cherry probably did, and the Good Christian Bitches probably does for this coming fall, which is, what are the storylines? What are the intersecting storylines? Where is this show going to develop? Those are all interesting questions. I'm saying you don't necessarily have to have it in your hand written in paragraph form, with rare exception, and I'm sure somebody should point them out to me. I don't think you need to have them in your hand when you come in with a pitch. What you do need to is when I say, okay, what else happens, or what's the future of the show, what's episode 5, you should be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
As far as the question in the question you asked me before I interrupted you, character description, sure, but I don't think there's a version of the script where there's a sketchy character description that you're saying to yourself, I better flesh this out more since I'm not going to have a Bible.
You know,
there's not different shades of it. You need to have a really good character description. Frankly, I'll leave it to a writer to figure out the best way to implement that, or literally the best place to place it. Because even the writing I've done, I've wanted to say, hey, before you read this, you need to know that this character I've written, Matthew Aaron, this is why he's funny, and this is what he looks like, and this is where he lives, and this is why it's, this is what you need to keep in mind. But then the other part of me says, well, the writing has to speak for itself. I'm hoping that they'll get all that from reading the dialogue.
I was just going to comment on that, Jim, is I've always been taught, let the dialogue speak, and don't, I mean, I've had instructors say, use less instruction or use less direction or action and use more dialogue.
Yeah.
And let the dialogue do the work. I agree with that.
I think there's value to that. I really do. And again, I am not a full-time WGA member who with a lot of credits behind me, but I do know when I myself wrote a spec script just for the for grins and giggles, I had a really anal retentive real estate agent who was overly helpful. And in parentheses, I wrote, "Think Jerry Seinfeld's agent."
Okay.
Remember the woman, the woman who came. She ended up doing that '70s show. She's a familiar character actress.
The mom on that '70s.
The mom,
show.
Right?
Good name, yeah.
But she made a very good impression as Jerry's agent because Jerry, I got you a gig, and it's a junior high. Now, Jerry, do you know what that means? That means sixth grade, seventh grade. And finally, he's like, "I know what it means. Shut up."
Yeah.
So my character description of her, and she was a tertiary character, was, think Jerry Seinfeld's agent from Seinfeld, in the hopes that that connoted what I needed to connote. But character descriptions, to answer the question, should be fairly thorough, and it's not as if they should be this length because you don't have this to go with it. They should be thorough, and maybe a writer will tell us whether he prefers them at the top of a before the script, as a separate section under a separate heading, or in the body of the script or after the script. But,
well, that's a question for people listening. Mike Royce will be on tomorrow again, and you should save some writing questions for Mike Royce if you got them, because he's a guy.
Yeah,
he will be able to tell you.
All right.
But I think what we're hearing is people are saying to themselves, how does this work? They're asking themselves good questions, but I think they know the answers as they're typing it. And I'm sort of being general here, but when they say, how important is a Bible, they're thinking to themselves, how important is my vision for the show and where it has to go? They already know the answer to that.
Well, and right.
It's important.
Right.
Okay.
And
what
about character descriptions? Yes, they need to be good character descriptions. Yeah. They know the answers as they're typing it. I think they just want to hear it. But I'll leave it at that.
Well, here's another one that I think people know the answers when they're typing it, but I got the same question three times, so
that's fine.
I better ask it. Okay, so how does someone outside of Hollywood pitch a show to a network, and how do they get it into the right hands? And I've answered this before, even though I got no experience to have answered it, but from talking to all the people we've talked to and all the people privately I've talked to, you just need connections to a degree, and you need to meet the right people and network with the right,
right.
people, and that's my answer. I don't know what you got, Jim. Maybe you can expand on that.
No, that is the right answer. We have to take into account that we live in a world where, and it's actually not even a new world, this happened in the olden days too, but,
right.
you know, all these rules be damned, I could suddenly, you know, put a baby farting on YouTube tomorrow morning and get a development deal out of it, and on Thursday I am pitching a show to Hollywood. So stranger things can happen. But if you're talking about I am a writer and I've written a script and I want to get it into people's hands in Los Angeles, first of all, proximity, you're going to need to be here or at least pretend to be here, or it helps to be able to get access. Part of the formula is presence here in some way, shape, or form. And then it's the connections, but not just the two you know kind of stuff. It's not stuff where people can't take action on that, even though it's true. It is, I would say, agents or friends who are assistants to agents. It's probably you're going to end up getting an agent probably to pitch it for you anyway. You yourself are probably not getting in the room, save for this unusual, you know, things can happen overnight world. But you yourself are probably not going to get into a room at a studio or a network. And it's probably going to be a studio before it's a network.
Yeah.
You yourself are not going to get into a room. Somebody's going to you want your material to get into the room, and as such, you need an advocate for your material,
yeah.
and that is either another writer or an agent. And keep in mind, it's nice to have a writer friend who even could say to you, "This is the best thing I've ever written," but it's not as if they have that much entry. That, you know, there's a lot of people with power here, but there's a lot of people who are just working stiffs. And even a successful writer could give you confirmation on your talent, but ultimately, what are you expecting him to do? Go to bat for it? He's not going to walk into a network.
Right, right.
So you really ultimately will get your script read only if it has sponsorship or representation.
Yep.
Legally, this script cannot be read if it just comes in over the transom, as it were, which is an old-fashioned expression. But unless it comes in from representation, and it's not like I'm giving it to my lawyer, my estate lawyer in Calumet, Michigan. It is typically an agent in Los Angeles who can be an advocate for material. Give them a reason to be your advocate, and they can get the script read. But prior to that is the part that what you, Matthew, are talking about, which is working your contacts and your connections, knowing that at some point you're going to need to be here, and not being afraid to figure out a way to say, I got a script. Do you know anybody who would read it?
Yeah. No, that's right.
Does that make sense?
I totally agree
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's something, I mean, people shouldn't be embarrassed to ask that. That's something... I've been writing for 14 years. That's something I basically learned doing this show. And it's what happens. You can't just cold call your way through the business. It doesn't really work.
Oh, not at all. It will not work.
However,
as
weird as it all as the business seems, and as off-putting it can be, and as you know, whatever word, scary or intimidating it can be, you know, 90% of the people who are here were that guy writing into the Matthew Aaron show saying, how do I do this?
Yep.
They just were able to meet the right person at the right time. They had some good luck. They had talent. You know, it was being, as we talked about in class, it was like being in that intersection of luck, timing, talent, and opportunity. And suddenly it's like, oh, I'm in the right intersection at the right time.
Well, what I also like to tell people is, and I'm sure someone way smarter said this before me, is you want to make cars, go to Detroit. You want to make movies, you want to make TV, go to L.A. I mean,
absolutely.
Location's going to help you a great deal. I mean, you got to go where the product's produced.
Yes. TV obviously can be made elsewhere.
Sure.
But the nucleus of the business, where the atoms are divided, you know, or multiply, whatever my scientific analogy is, you know, where it all happens to start with is sort of here, or at the very least, it's the education and it's the contacts.
I agree. Okay, we got more questions. We got a lot of questions here.
Yep.
Is being in L.A., well, we just answered that. Is that the only way to get a show made? We just asked that.
I don't even know how to phrase this, but there's not always going to be a mathematical equation to a lot of this.
I agree. This is a very vague business.
Luck is such a huge factor. I think people underestimate how big a factor it is.
If I had hair, it would fall out because I'm thinking to myself, there's just no, like, you can't go through the directions and read, oh, well, two cups of success into this pot and stir. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
Luck is a big part of it, but not like
a preparation.
Preparation kind of.
I'll give you a good.
Not like. Go ahead. All right, sorry.
Jim's backstory. The man went to, I believe, Temple, right? Am I wrong? Is it Temple you went to, Jim?
Temple University in Philadelphia, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you get your journalism degree, and you're in Tennessee, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to move to L.A., and I want to interview people in the business. I want to be in this business. So I'm going to interview them. I'm going to be a journalist. You're like Clark Kent. You're wearing your disguise to interview these people.
Yes.
And you met powerful people, and that's how you got into the business. I mean, you have to find ways to meet these people and get involved. I mean, that's what we're doing.
Right.
I stole this idea from Jim McCarron's. 1980s Jim McCarron's, I stole this idea from. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are we sure Jim's not actually Clark Kent?
He may be. He's got the glasses. Yeah.
That's the extent of the comparison. Believe me.
Yeah, I could say. You're not changing in phone booth, Jim.
Him and Leslie.
I'm doing things in a phone booth, but it ain't changing.
Oh, okay.
Next, by the way, next time on, no one knows what a phone booth is anyway. But
there are no phone booths.
We were talking about that the other day. There are no more phone booths.
Yeah, I was discussing this not too long ago.
Younger listeners are like, what?
Well, it's interesting. The original Superman in 78 sort of planted that notion because one of the first sort of in jokes is he goes to make the change for the first time and he goes out onto the streets of Metropolis. Gotham is Batman. Metropolis.
Yes, Metropolis.
And he goes to the first phone he looks at and it's sort of a wall phone. It's not a phone booth. And he's like, huh? Not where? You know, so that's a little wink to the audience about technology or the world changing. And that was 78.
If you didn't get Metropolis right, Ken Hamill was going to write you a letter.
Yeah.
Because
he is all about the Superman.
He is all about the superheroes.
Yeah, he is.
Next time I might have to go at 8:00, but next time I want to, if I'm welcome back, I'll tell you about when I lived in Tennessee and I couldn't sleep one night because a couple was fighting beneath my window in the student community that I lived in. They had a fight and they broke up and then got back together again in a phone booth in the rain beneath my window.
Wow.
All right. Well, you just sold me to have you on again.
Yeah.
Do we have any more questions before we get to Stump the Steve?
That should have been the Joel Schumacher movie.
Right. There are more questions, but I got to save the questions for next time because I didn't know Jim asked go in 20 minutes.
He may have to, but it depends on. Well, okay, go ahead. I want to make sure we do some music too.
You wanted to bring up resume and moving with Jim, and I.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Jim, I'm not good enough to be a receptionist.
Is that how you interpreted my email?
No, I've just busted your balls. I like twisted words. Jim's like, I don't think that's the job for you.
Most people want to see a pretty lady. I mean,
I'm a schmoozer, though.
Yeah.
You want to see me in the office. I schmooze.
pencil in your hair. I can just see it now.
Yeah.
Well, for the kind answer is, and it's the real one, I don't think it's the avenue to the path you want to be on.
Probably.
But the busting your balls part is reread the description, and you say if you see yourself in that job.
I just wanted to be very close to Leslie Moonves.
There you go. Notice that was not part of the requirement. And by the way, for all you know, it's probably not even in his building. But go ahead.
Probably not with my luck. With my luck, it wouldn't be.
Resumes will get you in the building. Once you get in the building, you don't need them. And that's a horrible thing to say, but it's true.
No, that's true. But what's the most important thing on the resume in your business? Is it the... Because I got my all-star cast of references I'm putting together. Is that going to put me over the top?
And I have zero.
Or is it the meat of the resume, or what's the deal?
What are you applying for in this fictional resume discussion?
I have no idea yet. You
want to be my assistant?
Sure. I want to be Jim's assistant.
Right.
Yes.
References, you know.
Someone needs to assist you to study for Stump the Steve during the afternoon.
It's going to be
the purpose of the study. What I looked for in the review in the resumes, you just want somebody, you know, fair or not, do they have a college graduate? Have they recently been working? And do they have a job in the business or something related to the business? Ultimately, what will the resume get you in the door? What keeps you in the door is your personality, your ceremony when we're having a conversation. Are you articulate? Are you intelligent?
Right.
That kind of stuff is what everybody looks for in terms of hiring somebody. Not going to necessarily, unlike if you were applying to the job of a magazine editor or a CPA, where your resume says, here's the times prior to today that I've been this and how I've done it and how long I've done it. What you are looking to do in most of the interviews in Los Angeles or in Hollywood really have no connection to what you have done or your resume, other than, you know, if you were a tape editor or you have one of those sort of production jobs.
Lying that you're already there, you need to kind of be there. Outside of faking someone's address.
you can fake an address. You can get a P.O. box. There are ways around it.
Right. But you still wear
you are looking for somebody, let's say, again, we got the Matthew Aaron podcast syndicate going here, and you're working out of a building in Chicago, you're going to find a lot of qualified people, but when you see one with a post date from Syracuse, New York, are you going to open it?
No, right. But does it help to have, let's say you have a Phil Rosenthal on your references. Does that help?
Not to be an assistant.
No, what does that help you for when you have other writers? Does that help?
It doesn't.
You writer's room? It doesn't help you at all.
I don't think that's not something really that's appropriate for a resume. That there are people who like me. I'm not sure how much references count. I'm going to want to, again, if we're talking about just an assistant or a job where you need to be able to produce, you know, you need to know how to type or deliver or answer phones, or you need where skills are necessary. I'm going to call your previous employers, or the HR people will. So that's important, but you know that Carson Daly doesn't mean anything to me.
Oh, it better mean something to you.
And it doesn't mean anything to the job. In the world that you're talking about, where it's great to know people and to be affiliated with the Phil Rosenthals of the world, that's a wonderful world to live in. But that's more of a conversational world than it is a human resources apply for a job world. That is more of a world that says, should you have access to Phil Rosenthal, you're saying to yourself, hey, Phil,
I need someone to give me an In-N-Out Burger status here. So you put on...
I need, you know, hey, Phil, do you want to throw a word in for me at this job where I'm trying to be a writer's assistant? That kind of thing.
That's what I'm asking. Does it help you? So this goes back to what we were talking about previously. It does help you to network and have connections, though, because these people can throw in good words for you, hopefully if they like you or whatever. But you do have to
Possibly, but those connections, by and large, in general, connections are going to sort of be the fuel in your car from day to day. So I can't necessarily just point out knowing a successful showrunner will get you X, Y, or Z. It probably is going to be part of your day to day, where you just get something. It's the wind in your sails if whether it, you know, they give you information that leads to something, or you can bounce something off them to see if it makes sense, or you know, I know a showrunner who says Bill Rosenthal, fictional scenario here, who's looking for a you know, somebody in the writer's room as a script coordinator. You know, that's how you get stuff like that, and it would get you in the room to
right.
this fictional producer. Hey, how do you know Phil? Oh, that's interesting. But keep in mind, everybody knows Phil, or in this case, you know, everybody knows everybody.
Sure.
If there's 10 people, there's 10 people in town. So if I'm running the writer's room and I'm looking for a writer's assistant, it's going to probably get you in sooner than most if Phil throws a good word my way about you.
Right.
But once you're in the room, it's not as if Phil's going to vouch for you. You need to be
no,
in the room
no.
and earn the job.
But what you're saying is it is good to have references for the jobs that you are looking for, like that could help you in your field.
Yes, it's just not the ones you're going to write down on a piece of paper or on a resume.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
You wouldn't write any of this down on a resume.
Okay. That is interesting.
I can, and we can follow up on that some other time.
There goes my dreams.
Yeah, Matt, you know.
Would you take Sam Simon off my resume now, Lee? Take him off. What do I need him for?
By the way,
flip burgers.
I know. By the way, I know you're kidding. It's totally cool that you know Sam Simon. It's totally cool that somebody like Sam Simon
right.
may mention your name. You don't need to have those words typed on your resume.
Now what if we can talk about this some other time, though? But if these people want to put you on, they want to have you reference them, then what do you do in that kind of situation? So what would you choose for references on a resume? Hold on, I just got a question about it. Someone asked about a PA job. What would be the most important things on a resume for a PA job?
Have you done previous work as an assistant? Have you been on a movie or TV set? Do you know the business? Because a lot of it is them not wanting to train you. It's going to be like you need to be hit the ground running. That's more of a physical job than it is an admin job, which is the ones I usually hire for. But what is your experience? And then more than that, I want to meet you. But it's your experience of your resume. Have you done this in the past that would get you in the door?
Okay, that's good. Okay, that clears that up.
All right.
All right. Let's play Stump the Steve and get Jim out of here.
If
good
need.
Lord.
I've had enough of Jim after he bitch slapped me on Sam Simon.
Yeah.
Your
references are no good here, Matthew.
If only Matthew knew how to take every conversation back to himself.
Yeah.
No!
Right. My God.
Oh,
Matt.
All right.
Well,
that's nice.
Matt's own world. Population one.
These are going to be super hard now. Jim, what category are you in, Steve? 70s, 80s, or 90s?
I'm picking a category for him.
Yes.
Can I get to ask how old Steve is again?
he's a year younger than me.
I am 25.
2 years.
You know what? Let's go 90s.
You're going to give him 90s? What a nice guy. He was, you know why. I get his strategy already. He didn't want 90s.
Thank you, Jim.
And now you got to give him 70s or 80s. See, Jim, I could read through your BS too.
Oh, boy. Well, then.
All right, Steve, what are you giving Jim?
Let me think.
So somebody's asking Steve a tribute. Oh, all right. And so now he's picking one.
Well,
I guess.
You have to pick your category, and you're both going to get five songs. We're going to go back and forth, first to five.
All right. Okay.
If we go through five songs and you're winning 4-3, that's a win.
Game over.
If it's tied, we'll do a tiebreaker. But Steve, go ahead.
If you want me to take 90s, I'll take 90s.
No,
I'm telling you, this may not be my forte, but go ahead.
80s it is for Jim.
80s, that's probably a smooth move, because the man watched a lot of TV in the 70s.
I never left my base.
All right, well, we're going to start out with Jim then. Or Steve, would you like to go first? Since you are Stump the Steve, I will give that to
you. I would like Jim to start first.
You would like Jim to start first. And this is 80s. And this could be any TV show from the 80s. Cartoons, dramas, comedies, anything.
I'm screwed.
We're going to start out with an easy one for Jim. The first ones are always easy. And you do get one question where you can use a hint. But I'd save it for when it matters.
All right. All
right.
Hey, Steve, do I ever get to hear the music here or what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Here you go. I'm explaining the rules. Mark Summers was very important to Double Dare, okay? Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. This is for you.
Just drop Double Dare.
Standing on the edge, there's a way of knowing. One life ahead of where the road is going. So far.
Jim, that's enough for you, pal. All right, what you got?
God, I'm in trouble if that's an easy one.
No, that wasn't easy.
I'm betting it was one of those TGI Friday shows by Miller Milkus or
Miller Boyette.
Miller Boyette. And I'm allowed to get a hint?
I will give you your one hint here if you want to use it on the first question.
It's only one.
Okay.
One for the five.
Would
questions.
You like it now?
I get one hint for all five questions?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
One hint.
And do I get to hear any more of the music? Is there a refrain? Is there a chorus?
I could play more of the music for you. And I will. I wanted to make this easier. I kind of goofed and played a harder one. I will give you a hint. I'll give you a free hint from me because this one's really hard. Steve don't even know this. It is originally the show that was going to end up being Saved by the Bell. And it stars Haley Mills.
Morning, Miss Bliss.
Good morning, Miss Bliss is correct.
Ooh. I would never have gotten that but for the clue.
He got that one. All right. And I gave him a freebie because that one was kind of hard, actually.
Yeah, that was hard.
I knew the title, but definitely not the song, that's for sure.
They did six episodes of that.
Yeah.
Steve, it's 90s time for you, pal.
I shall do my best.
And I will give you an easy one to start
Do you take
out
all
with.
Challenges seriously? Okay.
All right, Steve, this is for you, pal. I expect you to get this very quickly.
Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, you did. All right.
Beavis and Butthead is correct. That is.
I knew that.
Well, Jim, you watch Beavis and Butthead?
I get jiggy.
Yeah, you get
Jiggy. Oh. All right.
You like some Mikey Judge. All right.
All right.
All right.
I'll bring the caramel corn. We'll watch Beavis and
Mike Judge hates people even more than I do.
All right. Yeah, he does. This is for...
By the way, not that she's listening, but I spent a day on vacation. I escorted my 14-year-old niece on vacation. She flew on the plane by herself, but I went with her. Anyway, on the plane, I said, are you excited about going wherever we're going? And she says, yeah. I said, you planning to get jiggy with it? She gave me a look, and finally I started to explain myself. I said, you know, like Jiggy, where you're getting excited, you're going to get into it, it's going to be really dope. She goes, no, I know what you're talking about. You shouldn't be using the word.
No.
I disagree. You use Jiggy with it as much as you want.
It's really dope.
There you go.
Here's
okay, sorry, go ahead.
Second one.
Uncle Jim.
Yes.
That's good.
Jim, do you know?
Oh, it's vague. It sounds like Quantum Leap.
Correct, sir. You are correct.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
But
Quantum Leap. Whoa.
But it was the early season.
Yes, it was.
The theme,
you're
the theme got better.
He knows the theme differences like you and I do. We're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
We did a whole Growing Pains theme breakdown today.
I could never watch a show with a man named Boner in it, so I never watched Growing Pains.
Oh,
by the way, Bruce Fretz was talking about how he doesn't like Alan Thicke this afternoon.
Oh,
I don't know the story behind that.
So you're saying we should invite them to parties together?
No.
Come on, Al.
All right, this is going to be Steve's second one. I got to make it a little harder. Yep. No, that's too easy. Get away, Luisi. What are you looking at? You're picking all the easy ones.
Good Lord.
Please, pick the easy ones.
All right. This one is definitely not easy.
Oh, no.
Upon a time in the project.
Do you know?
Oh, I have a guess, but go ahead, Steve.
Yeah.
Of course, I watch this every week. No.
Oh, he's stumped.
Oh, yeah.
Jim is like, really? Were you not listening?
low rent high rise. Wow.
By the way, I'm not sure at all.
Oh, I doubt that.
Hi.
You got a guess, Steve, or you Terzo in here?
I would love to just use my clue, actually.
Your clue is Eddie Murphy, animated.
Oh, God.
Claymated. How about that?
Yes, yeah. I know the show. I do not know
would
the
you
title.
Like to hear a little more of the theme?
Actually, Larry Wilmore used to write for the show, I believe.
May be nice. Good for Larry friggin' Wilmore.
Right.
But that's not the answer.
No, I know.
Would you like to hear the rest of the theme? I'll give you the last 12 seconds.
Okay.
Want to take a guess?
You know what? I do not know this.
They
one.
Literally say, yeah, Jim, what's your guess, Jim?
I don't know, but it was something like Dilbert or some single name, wasn't it?
Would be the
PJs,
which
I
they
knew
say
that.
20 times
right.
in the song. They keep going, the PJs
wow.
in the condo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hi, Rob. Oh. Wow, that's amateur there. Steve, what was my clue I gave you the other day with Stump the Steve? Listen to the lyrics. It's a giveaway.
Always.
All right.
Steve, you got to get the next one, if only so that we don't make Matthew sing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Listen, Matthew sings good, but only when he wants to, though.
I sing good or do I sing well?
You sing well. I'm doing that. I'm trying to connect with our blue-collar listeners.
You're trying to be jiggy.
Right.
Oh, you were talking like you were on the PJs. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Well,
here is... Oh, that may have been terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
All right, here's Jim's next intro.
Off color wasn't better.
Number three.
Yeah, off color wasn't better either. All right, this is for 3 points for Jim. Jim will get the third point here if he gets this. Let's see how well Jim knows me.
Who's the boss?
Yeah, that was correct. Who's the boss?
1984 to 1992.
Steve, you're down 3-1 here in round 3.
Oh yeah.
You need a comeback here.
I do love Who's the Boss.
You got Who's the Boss pretty quick.
Well, who wouldn't?
Well, I don't
Angela.
Know.
Angela.
Stan's a guy.
Angela. He just said Angela.
He sure did.
Are you sure you're not Tony Borelli there?
Look, I better pick a song before Jim does more Tony Danza impressions.
There you go.
All right. Steve, you got to get this one. This show ran from 1983 to 1990, so it counts. I don't want to hear any. It doesn't count.
All right. I will do my best.
Since I enjoyed this show.
83 to 90. Mama's Family.
Correct. Mama's Family is right.
I have the first 2 seasons on DVD of that.
What a tragedy in comedy that
wow.
show was.
Wow.
To get your Rue McClanahan fixed.
And Betty White, pal.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What show did they spin off of Mama's Family, Steve?
Hmm. Was that the Carol Burnett show?
Well, I don't know.
I don't
Who
know.
Knows?
I thought Vicki Lawrence did something that Mama character.
Yes. Oh, Vicki Lawrence did something, all right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes, it was spin off of the Carol Burnett show.
Beautiful.
I got to find a hard one for Jim, though.
You're talking about a theme music, right?
Oh, and Jim.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks a lot. While I'm looking for a difficult one for you here, I did want to bring up, did you see they're remaking The Munsters? My favorite show. I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Well, most television would make you cry these days.
Yeah.
All right, here's Jim.
But the Munsters, though. Fred Gwynn.
I don't know if Jim's going to get this or not. This may be a roll of the die. I may have gotten him.
Life is such a sweet impossible.
Oh, my God.
That is Valerie.
Oh, he is correct.
You knew the lyric.
Which
wow.
turned into what show, Jim?
Hogan Family.
Oh, you were done for, Steve.
Actually, it turned into Valerie's Family, which turned into the Hogan Family.
Yeah, well, no. Steve can come back, but Jim has to miss the fifth one.
Or no, wait.
Jim got help with the first one, but go ahead.
Jim did get help. Well, we'll see if Steve can make a slight comeback here.
Oh,
he knew it was Valerie.
I know.
I was counting on him to say the Hogan Family.
There was no doubt he knew it was Valerie.
When you usually belt out the lines of the song, you typically know it. Yeah. Although, if you just knew the lyrics, that would have been kind of funny and not the show.
Monday at 8:30 on NBC.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
There you go. So you're saying you had the popcorn ready for that show.
What we need to do is get him, we need to get him and Ken Hommel to play the game. Here we go, Steve.
Yes.
This is yours. Do you know?
I have an idea.
I have a guess. But well.
But I'm going to be very embarrassed if my guess is wrong. Or
what's your guess?
Dinosaurs, but I don't think that's right.
That was my guess.
It was Duckman.
Duckman.
Jason Alexander.
Oh.
Same church, different pew.
That's nice of you to say. That was fun.
All right. This is for Jim to get a perfect score.
Well, actually.
4.5.
Well,
I could be really dickish and pick something really hard, but I won't. He's going for a perfect score. That's kind of annoying.
Don't make it too easy, though. Just go medium.
Oh.
Medium.
What, are we making burgers here?
Oh, this isn't the 90s, though, but I want to play it so bad.
You mean 80s? Not the 80s?
No, I mean 80s. Yeah, it is the 90s. That'll be your last one that you'll never get.
Beautiful. He knows all of these. This is impossible.
I bet he even knows Give Me a Break.
Well, everyone knows. It says it in... Oh.
Well, he doesn't look like a Nell Carter fan, but...
Give me a break. I sure deserve one.
All right. Let's see if he gets
give
this.
Give me a break.
Oh, he knows.
Oh.
Give me the break. I love it.
I'm a brick.
All right. Let's see if he gets this one. If he gets this, I give up for now.
Oh. Kate and Allie.
Kate and Allie is correct.
Wow. Jesus.
Beautiful.
Christ.
He even gets the broad shows.
He does.
Hey. Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Well, Steve, do you want your last one? Steve,
yes.
3 points?
Let me try for yes.
This was going to be your hardest one. So I doubt you get it. I was actually counting on you using your hint on this one.
Oh, well, yeah.
But here you go. Created by Eddie Murphy. We'll keep the Eddie Murphy
string
Is
this
going.
Another Family?
Oh, so close.
Or is it Other Family?
The Royal,
Royal Family.
Well,
you know what?
And Red Fox and Della Reese, and Red Fox died after the first six episodes.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Next to the ooing and eyeing, I caught Family. So I'm like, well, it's got to be Family something. Royal Family.
I give you half a point on
five that. 5-2
2.5
final score there.
Well, I'm only taking 4.5.
Oh, thanks, Jim. That's nice of you.
Jim, thank you very much for joining us. I know you got to go.
Well, 4.5.
Thank you both very much. It's entertaining, and I think you guys are both very good at this and good at your jobs, and it's great talking to you.
Yeah, it would be nice if it paid. But thank you, Jim. And we'll talk soon about how you pooped all over my resume.
I'm happy to be of service, and we'll try it again.
I was hoping that Tom Hanks reference would get me in.
Yeah.
Not today.
I don't know.
Just don't use them for a reference to get a secretarial job, and you'll be fine.
Oh, okay. Right. Very good. I'll talk to you soon, Jim. Thank you.
I'm happy to come back anytime, and if anybody has follow-up questions, they can feel free to pass them your way, and you can pass them mine.
Well, we'll save them for the next time you're on.
That's fantastic.
That's good, too.
Thank you.
And I'll see you in L.A. I'll be out there October 6th to 10th and moving out there November 1st, moving in.
Everyone is warned.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, all right.
So we'll be seeing you soon.
Forewarned. Mothers, lock up your daughters.
The man that knows the Kate and Allie theme songs warned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm the one to be warned.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. Have a wonderful night, guys.
You too. Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. All right. Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Bye.
The man was singing the Kate and Allie theme song.
He knew it.
But I'm the warning.
I like how he said both of you are very good at your jobs. That means
yes.
Two out of the three of us are good.
That means I'm not so good.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Means.
Yeah.
Steve, I got to tell you, though.
Yeah.
No,
you tried.
I think he had it a little harder.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
Because here's the thing. Steve knows the 90s like it's the back of his hand. So I had to be very careful about what to play with Steve.
Except for any of the Eddie Murphy shows, apparently.
But here's the scary thing.
What's
Jim knew everything.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
He knew what season of Quantum Leap the theme song was from.
Oh, yeah.
That's scary.
Or that means that's
and
why...
And if he says Ken Hamill's better...
Yeah.
Do you even challenge Kenny Ham?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, why don't you make your challenge
right off the bat when you gave him Beavis and Butthead, I'm like, oh, it's going to be like that. You know, and
no.
I'm like, no, it clearly wasn't.
Oh,
and then I'm like, wait, it's
have
the
Have you
BJ's.
Played Lee yet?
No, I haven't.
We could
I
save haven't. News for Thursday and do a dump the Steve.
Hold on one second.
Me, yeah.
Ken Hamill,
I'm terrible,
today.
By the way.
Mr. Ken Hamill, I would like to challenge you to stump the Steve. Not stump the comics, because you'll mop me worse there, but stump the Steve TV themes.
Okay.
The challenge is on the table.
Oh, okay. Well,
I have not tried to stump Lee.
I wouldn't be closed-minded to a competition, of course, but I'm going to get owned. I never watched so many TV shows.
I'm going
shows.
To chat up Ken right now and say Steve has challenged you to a future show for Stump the Steve, or as I like to call it, please don't stump me, comma Steve.
I agree. Please, for the love of God, don't stump me. I got kids.
Would you like to play Lee and earn your stripes back to end the night?
Yes, I would.
We'll make this a 3-point game.
Let me just say right now, I haven't watched any of these shows.
There's going to be no categories.
I watched no sitcoms growing up except Home Improvement because it was before The Simpsons and
Seinfeld because
I didn't want to do my homework yet.
Let us play.
Pat Tobias wants to know, hasn't Steve lost every Stump the Steve game?
No, that is not true.
He beat Luisi game one. He beat Luisi.
Well, all right.
Here we
still
go.
Funny.
Oh,
do you have any themes picked out?
Well, how do I make this good so Lee can play too? I'm going to include movie themes.
You don't have to dumb
I'm
it down.
I'm
going to
include
you
movie
could do
themes.
You could do
you
TV.
You just want to stick to TV.
You could do TV. You don't have to dumb it down for me.
Wow.
I'm not saying I'm going to hand this win over
you
to Steve.
Go first.
I'm going to fight.
Steve, since you lost,
I'll
why don't you go first?
First, I will go first.
Since
yes,
you lost the last Stump the Steve.
I was gonna leave it up to Lee.
I'll give you a little secret. I actually did listen to some themes in preparation for this day.
There we go.
But not many.
You get an easy one to start off,
Steve. Thank you.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
have an answer,
yes,
Steve?
Yes, I do. ER.
Correct. 1 point.
Okay.
It's an easy one.
Never watched it. Wouldn't
it's
have
an
done,
easy
wouldn't
one.
Wouldn't have gotten that one.
Well.
Go on.
Since you got a drama from the 90s, I'm going to give Wii similar.
Okay, beautiful.
Sets in. Going to introduce the lady character. It sounds a little bit like Miami Vice, but that's 80s. It's not Miami Vice. Is it MacGyver?
It is NYPD Blue.
Oh.
Okay. You had your hint. You could have gone with the hint.
No, save the hint for the last round, I say.
Well, he has to catch up
hint?
Now.
By the way, what was my hint?
No, you could have
your hint probably would have been Denny Franz.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Are you ready, Steve?
Yes.
You know, here's the thing about that.
This was this Jag off.
Thanks.
Well, we see three under this ball.
My guess is going to be...
Or hint?
No. I don't want to use my hint.
Okay.
Not yet.
All
not yet. Right. Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, Benson.
Benson! Oh.
Benson.
So here is your chance to tie, Lee,
okay.
And go in with a tie into the final round.
Okay.
So that's huge.
Okay. You probably would have given. I don't know if you would have given me that.
By the way, is this entertaining to listen to for our listeners? I've
actually heard people enjoy it.
Really?
It's weird. You right?
No, he's not.
No one's going to get that. Nobody. He's stumped.
I have no clue.
Quick question.
Would
Jake
you like your clue, or
yeah.
Are you going to continue?
Jake and the Fat Man.
No, it's
Can I get?
You
guess?
Could go ahead. Yes.
What's Happening?
It was What's Happening.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's still 1-0 going into final
I was
round.
Rerun stand-in from 19 whatever to...
Until he got fat.
Yes.
Oh, rerun.
That would be What's Happening.
All right.
Oh, hi, rerun.
Oh, I got to find a really hard one, though.
That one was really hard. Come on.
That one. Yeah.
No.
Okay, can I ask a question real quick? If I asked had my clue on Benson, would you have said Jerry Seinfeld was in it?
No, I would have said spinoff of Soap.
Glad I didn't get my clue then, because I thought you were going to be like, and Jerry Seinfeld got fired from this show unannounced.
I was thinking about, well, Jerry would have been an option. All right, are you ready for yours?
Yes.
Really hard.
Early to rise, early to bed. When in between I cooked and cleaned and went out of my head. Going through life with blinders on, it's tough to see.
I can't play anymore, else you're going to get the name of it.
Really? Can I have my clue then?
Wow, this is a hard one to give you a clue on, even.
Unfortunately, it sounds like I should even know this. It sounds very familiar, but I do need my clue.
All right, Linda Lavin stars in the show. It's from 1976 to 1985
is
on
it,
CBS.
Is it Alice?
You are correct.
Very good.
Alice.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Well, Lee, you just need one to put you on the board, but
okay.
You lost. And
that's
Steve
right.
feels better about himself.
That's good.
So
it's no triumph, but yeah.
I'll give you an easy one.
Hey, you guys!
Do you know the name of the show, Lee?
It's on the tip of my tongue. No, I don't.
It's the Electric Company.
Oh, God.
See, it's not as easy a stump to Steve as it looks, people.
No, it's not.
Yeah, people.
You have to.
Listen.
It just happens Steve's going up against seasoned veterans.
Yeah. I would feel even worse if you had to throw in movie themes in there.
Ken
Hommel
says it sounds fun to play you. Movie themes would have embarrassed
me. Oh,
well,
that's nice.
Because that would have been some panic. Because I really
am a fun guy.
I'm terrible. I'm a fun competitor.
Sounds fun. Well, we got 10 minutes left. What are we going to do? I was planning on Jim McCarron's the whole time.
The whole time.
Well, he didn't really.
Well, we do need to talk about Mike Royce tomorrow. 6:30
Mike
show.
Royce is
going
to be good.
6:30 show.
6:30.
Mike's got shit to do, pal. Yeah.
Mike Royce doesn't care about your IndyCar racing.
Yeah, no.
Or your 4-H or your yacht club or your debutante's ball.
No. No, he doesn't care about any of that stuff. So what about Jim McCarron shitting all over my resume?
I don't listen.
Well, wait, he would say, is that how you
twisted it?
Is that how you heard it?
I'm going to say the customary, I don't think he was shitting on your resume.
No, what
he
was
said that your references don't mean as much as you seem to think.
No. I don't think that's exactly it. I think what he was saying was, if you're applying for a receptionist job or a PA job, then a bunch of writers for references isn't going to mean
help.
Much.
They want to know
if
that's
for
common
a writing
sense. I mean, that
job,
makes sense.
It's good to have a bunch of writers reference.
They basically want to know if you're going to be able to tear tape if you're PAing, like, you know. Or
well, find me a famous gaffer so I can put him on my resume.
I will. You can talk to me. I'll be a famous gaffer.
Boy. I am going to be slinging snow cones on Ventura Beach.
Wouldn't doubt it. It's not a bad thing to do.
Yeah. Not at all.
Anyone know if the White Sox won tonight?
I didn't hear your
they
dad.
Won?
Oh, I was gonna say, I didn't hear your dad.
Six. They are on a roll. They have six in a row, five in a row, five in a row.
Go White Sox.
What the score was? I already know that. Detroit won two though. So
so it canceled out.
Well, they keep up.
I got something.
Yeah, you got anything?
Yeah.
Or else I was gonna go to news.
I'm gonna say why I don't read news as much as I used to because of shit like this. All right.
You got 4 minutes to do.
This is what you call a follow up story. All right. Seychelles, name of place is S-E-Y.
Sure.
Yeah. Seychelles shark attack. Widow describes awful scream. Gemma Redmond remembers her last moments with her husband on honeymoon, following him being mauled by a shark. A woman whose husband was killed by a shark on their Seychelles honeymoon had said she still hears his terrifying screams whenever she closes his eyes. Gemma Redmond, 27, has spoken for the first time about the horrific death of her 30-year-old husband, Ian. That is a wonderfully uplifting story. Yeah. That sounds like an Onion headline. Area woman can't get husband's screams out of her nightmares. That's a follow-up story?
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you, pal.
Them journalists. Oh, yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I am with you.
You know, maybe I should have played that music when I was calling for follow-ups today.
Should have played that music during Stump the Steve
with
Jim.
Wouldn't that be great if it's like... Hello, this is NBC. Who am I speaking with?
Da-da.
And then what did you say, Steve? You're supposed to play along. Hello, this is NBC.
Hello,
who am I speaking with?
This is The More You Know.
No, this is Steve Wyrick.
This is Steve Wyrick.
I'm playing NBC, or you're supposed to tell us how your phone call went today. Hello, this is NBC. Who am I speaking with?
This is
not an actor. Definitely a writer.
This is Steve Wyrick following up on a...
hold on. Let us put you on hold.
How'd you know?
Oh, man.
That's exactly what happened. No, actually, no. I got laughed at, too, so play that soundbite. ABC laughed at me.
Just keep playing it until we're done with the show. Yeah, yeah.
On a very special Matthew Aaron show.
Hi, were you on hold waiting for somebody?
Yeah, I wanted to.
Okay, let me put you on hold. Hold on.
Thanks. This whole business is ticking me off. Who do they think they are putting Steve Weirich on hold? I don't want to hear that music anymore. Ah!
Do you have any idea who I am?
Oh, they don't.
You'll never work in this town again.
Am I still on hold?
You're awful.
Okay, well.
So is that what happened, though? Back on hold!
Back on hold, it appears.
I'm just kidding.
It appears as if I'm back on
hold.
That
sounded like what happened to you, though.
Oh, absolutely.
And then someone else came on the phone was like, oh, let's push you through to blah, blah, blah.
And then I got a voicemail. Actually, I was put through to a voicemail. And you know what that voicemail sounded like? I think you got the soundbite for it.
Is it that? Is it the Nelson Muntzish?
Yes.
Well, I don't know about that one. I don't have that one, I don't think. Do I have that soundbite?
You tell me.
You know what I do have?
Yes.
Julia Roberts laughing uncontrollably.
I love it.
That's what they said to me.
That's not the worst. Oh, it gets better.
Oh, my
God. The kind of laughs I hear on dates.
You should work the chipmunk one into the other ones, like in the middle.
Oh, blimey.
So tell us more about. So you called CBS today.
Yeah.
You called CBS and you called NBC, and they were giving you a hard time, Steve.
Well, not necessarily. It's a different answer every time you call. It's kind of a fun game you can play if you're into that kind of thing. No, it's NBC. I had to redo some things for them, but this time instead of saying we have no record of you, I was told, leave a. Well, the person didn't realize I was calling with regards to their pages program, so he's like, yeah, hold on a second, and then I got a sound bite. That's exactly what he did. Were you on the other line?
Oh,
how
God.
Did you? Wait
oh,
a
God.
Second.
Are we just...
Hold the phone.
Hi, this is Steve Weirich. I'd like a job here.
Yeah. Hello, this is Steve Weirich. You want to look at my work? Yeah.
That's what happened. They had Anderson and Nelson in the same room.
Both laughing at me.
Oh.
No, actually,
are we
actually,
abusing the soundboard lately?
Here's my actual educated answer for every. This is actually legit. This is legit. So I was on NBC's website, and where you set up your profile and whatnot, I could see all the failed job attempts I've had over the year. Like it said, resume submitted April 19th. Candidate rejected. Resume submitted February.
For you?
Oh, yeah, for like February, April,
all your
March.
Rejections
yeah,
ever?
They're all
they
lined
keep
up.
Score?
Oh, yeah, dude. They do.
They
do.
They keep score of how many? Oh, that's so embarrassing.
So, like. Yeah, like, because you can check your job status, and a lot of times it'll say, like, you are not being considered for this job anymore. Or it'll just, yeah. So it'll keep, like, jobs that are way already been filled. So instead of already been filled, it says, no, we are not going to hire you for this job. Which is just, I mean, you know, got to be persistent.
I'm just shocked they keep score.
Oh, they keep score, buddy. That
they want you to know how much you suck.
Oh. Yeah, that's exactly. Actually, the splash page opens with a ha ha from Nelson Muntz.
Yeah,
and a ha ha from Anderson Cooper.
Man,
yes.
Oh, that's the giddiest laugh ever.
He's a giddy
that,
man.
That's how. That's how that all goes down. So kids, eat your Wheaties, kids.
Oh, you know why?
I haven't seen. I haven't.
Wow, what kind of cuckoo puffs is he on?
I haven't heard a broadcaster sound that light in the loafer since Shepard Smith.
Oh, poor Shep.
Poor Shep. Yeah.
What's tomorrow's show? Oh,
Mike Royce.
And now Pat's mad because we're not going to get Julia Roberts now.
Oh, listen, Pat. We love her laugh.
We love her laugh. I would say this to the hypothetical world Pat lives in which Julia Roberts would come on this show.
Well, you know who else we're going to get is the Crypt Keeper because we like his laugh, too.
Yeah.
Well, I want to leave everyone with Mike Royce at 6:30 and a message from Maria Menounos.
Okay.